This is Leafs Breakfast.
Pass ahead for Bunting. Bunting driving the net. In front of the net, they score!
What a night at Scotiabank Arena. The Toronto Maple Leafs beat the Blue Jackets 5-4. Austin Matthews with two more tucks. Nick Ritchie got on the board. And the Leafs, Coco, dealing with a lot of injuries. Of course, you know, Mitch Marner's out. We know Rasmus Sandin and Travis Dermott are out. We know Jason Spezza was suspended for 6 games. And certainly we'll get into that with our next guest. But a couple of NHL debuts, Christian Rubens and Alex Steeves, who I understand as a Notre Dame alum, had a poster of our next guest up in his dorm room. TSN hockey analyst Dave Poulin with us here on First Up. Dave, can you confirm that?
Not unless he was on the Goldbergs. It's the only one that I know that's up in anywhere that gets a lot of airtime. So I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure Alex Steeves, at his age, would quite be old enough to remember Dave Poulin, the player.
He's Carl, a big fan.
I
heard in the post game.
He'd have to be a big fan of the stories he heard on campus, not of the players himself.
Oh, so. Are we talking about on-the-ice stories, Dave, or off-the-ice stories?
Always on the ice, Aaron, yeah, always on the ice.
Yeah. So let's start with Matthews, and we heard the clip, Michael Bunting setting up Matthews for that unbelievable goal last night. Michael Bunting has been a revelation so far, especially since being put up on that top line alongside Matthews, but 17 on the season for Matthews, scoring at a 57-goal pace. He is on fire. And we were debating earlier in the show, if you had to label someone as the front runner to win the Rocket Richard Trophy, is it Austin Matthews right now?
Well, he'd certainly be in the conversation, and it would be a very tight conversation. I mean, he is just on fire right now. He certainly has the capability, and you know, it looked like a while ago Leon Draisaitl was a slam dunk, right? And that was just arguably 2 weeks ago. But the way Matthews is scoring right now, and, I mean, he's doing it right now without Mitch Marner, but Bunting has been an interesting addition to this hockey team because Michael Bunting, you know, so little was known about him. He only played 26 games in the National Hockey League coming in, and he was 26 years old. And he's fit really well, but he's fit up and down the lineup. And the thing I give him credit for is he hasn't changed how he's played regardless of how he's been used. He's been on the fourth line, he's been on the third line, he's been on the second line, he's been on the first line. He just kind of plays the same way. But he's getting a better sense for Matthews' spacing. And that play last night, most guys give that to Matthews earlier when he's in the slot and covered. Because when Matthews is on the ice, he commands the puck. When you're on the ice with a guy like that, you think you have to give it to him all the time, and you have to give it to him all the time. It's demand and command, and when a player like that is on the ice. And yet he held it for that split second and put it where Matthews is going. And so if you've added another dimension of passing, you know Mitch Marner's tremendous passing ability to Austin Matthews. You know Matthews' ability to create shots for himself and shoot from further out. And we've watched him develop even a tighter game this year where he scored a lot of goals from in close. Now you've got another element in Bunting who is passing the puck to places where Matthews can go get it. So, yeah, I don't know. How do you rule out Alexander Ovechkin, Leon Draisaitl, Matthews? I mean, I think those, you've got to have Connor McDavid in the conversation, but in a very small handful, he could very well be the favorite this morning.
Yeah, I think the value, I think we said 5-1. I mean, how can you not take that right now with how hot he's been?
It always turns to that, doesn't it, Carl?
Well, it's true.
That's how we operate.
The conversation goes here,
I mean,
especially,
Dave, there were a lot of people last night who were on the Leafs minus a goal and a half on the puck line, right? And Max Domi scores with, like, what, 0.2 seconds left. There were a lot of people who raised up their arms in frustration and disbelief. But I mean,
well, I would tell you, Aaron, there were a lot of nights when I would walk in my own locker room, and I played for really good teams, and I've told you guys this before, and I'd walk into my own locker room, and I'd look around, and I'd go, I'd never bet on this group. really, really good team.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you've been betting on the Leafs in the last month, you've been doing very well for yourself. And I don't know how many people were betting on Nick Ritchie to score his first goal 27 games into the season, but it finally happened for him last night, Dave, and clearly a huge relief. His teammates were just so excited for him, and rightfully so. It's been a struggle for Ritchie. Carlo was telling us earlier about times when he was playing with Philly and Buffalo where he was on goalless streaks and kind of how that built up and the frustration of that. Any memories that you can conjure up from your playing career with similar instances? I know you were a prolific goal scorer in your time, Dave, but I'm sure there were some slumps along the way.
Yeah, I do think of one time, and it was my rookie year, and Bobby Clark had taken me aside at one point. He was still playing, and he said, you have to score goals in this league. You just can't be a good player. You have to score goals. So think about that pressure when a Hall of Famer tells you that. And I had locked in, I had a really good start to the year, and I'd locked in at 12 goals. Not that this is clear in my memory or anything, yeah, Aaron, as you asked this question, but I was locked in at 12 goals, and it was January, I think, 21st. And I went to get my hair cut, and I'd always parted my hair in the middle at that point. And I made a decision.
You were a middle part guy? Wow.
Carlo, different day and age, right? Different day and age. So I was a middle part guy in college, and I went in, and I said to the barber, I need something different. And he parted on the side on a Friday. It was January 20th. I believe the 21st, the next day, was an NBC Saturday afternoon game against the New York Islanders, who were, you know, in the middle of their four cup run. I had a hat trick on Billy Smith the next afternoon. So I had 12 goals in late January and finished with 31. This went on a ridiculous, ridiculous tear. And obviously still, you may not know this, but I still part my hair on the side. So
I'm going to get a haircut after the show, Dave.
I think you've got to contribute to the change. You've got to change things you do, change the way you drive to the rink. You know, I, like everybody else, has been in goal scoring slumps. Uh-huh. And, you know, as long as you're getting the chances, but keep changing little details in your life, and you never know what's going to do it, Aaron. You never know.
Yeah, you just never know. I mean, look at Austin Matthews. Shaves his mustache, and now he's on an incredible goal-scoring streak.
Okay, so is he going to grow that back? Or?
I was going to say, I don't Great know. Question. Are we going to see it back? I mean, who knows? It's, I mean, I
would agree. 10 goals in the last seven games, guys.
No kidding. No kidding.
And just on fuego.
He sure is. Just quickly, it was obviously brought up on the broadcast yesterday, but you know, with the news of Marner now missing an extended period of time, I think it caught a lot of us by surprise, the fact that it's a 3 to 4 week injury. Where do you expect this team to go in his absence right now? Like, who's a guy that you're looking at to step up his game or fill the void? I mean, obviously Austin Matthews has got to do his thing, but is it William Nylander? Is it Bunting? Is it Kasha? Is it Nick Ritchie? I mean, who do you think is a guy that we should, you know, highlight even more right now with Mitch Marner out of the lineup?
I think it's all of the above. And if it continues with Matthews, so be it. You know, he'd be the one you would think would be the most affected by the loss of Marner, because he's, you know, assisted on so many of his goals as a primary assist. But it's got to be the all of the above. It's got to be the power play as well. And, you know, Kasha is one that you look at and say he's most capable as a right shot with his skill level. His confidence level is growing. You know, it was fun to watch how excited he was when Nick Ritchie scored last night. And you always look for that. And so I think it's a little bit of everybody. I don't think one guy does it for Marner. And, you know, you'll see different people step up on different nights. It's got to be by balance. And that'll all be good in the long run, too, coming back. You know, for everybody to know, I don't think there's one guy that's going to step into that role and going to stay there for 3 or 4 weeks at right wing on that line. You know, I think they'll continue to move things around and try different things.
Dave, when Jason Spezza, it was announced yesterday during the broadcast on TSN that he would get 6 games, I think a lot of people were surprised by that. Maybe we shouldn't have been, considering the in-person hearing, but 6 games, considering Jason Spezza's sparkling resume as far as player safety goes, I was surprised. I'm not saying it's the wrong decision, but I was definitely surprised. How did you see it?
I was surprised as well, and yet not, because the longer it went yesterday, as we get into it, you know, we're waiting. Okay, are we going to get the news by the time we get our Sports Center hit? No. Are we going to get it for the, you know, the first intermission? Like, we're evaluating what the timing is. And I turned to Dregs at one point and I said, this is going to be longer than we thought. because they're putting that much time and detail into it. And don't forget, you know, you think of the detail that went into that decision, and listening to that, that's maybe the most detailed report that I've ever heard from the NHL, because they normally don't go into what the defending team's defense was.
Yeah, no kidding.
I've never heard that. And so, okay, here a couple things, guys. The people get angry at us because we talk about it on air. Like, they get really angry at you, like you had something to do with the decision because you're explaining the decision. That's all we do, is explain the decision. And people get really angry and say, okay, well, put it on, you know, if you did this, if you said a player on Winnipeg, if you said DeMello was the one that got hurt, not Sandin, if he was hit by Brody, you know, not Pionk, and if Paul Stastny did what Jason Spezza did, those would be similar types of players. Like, if Paul Stastny did it at this point in his career, you'd say the same thing about him that you would about Jason Spezza. And it were six games, no, you know, nobody in Toronto would even blink at that. But because it's your player, no matter what city it's in, because it's your player, then the Department of Player Safety is wrong, has to be wrong. And that's just human nature. I mean, that's what people do. But their detail in the way they went through it, I mean, don't forget, they're handing that decision down, and they know that the team they're handing it to, well, one of their executives used to do that job. I think Brent Shanahan was the head of Department of Player Safety. I mean, he used to do the job. He sat in the same room and made the same decisions with some of those same people. So think about that. And they would have listened to his exact reasoning when he was going through individual suspensions over the years. Mm-hmm. And so that's a different angle on it. But, you know, certainly Spezza is not a dirty player. I mean, at all. But that play in an isolated incident, you know, in their mind, merited six games. And Carl, I heard you speak earlier about Brendan Lemieux and it only getting five games. I thought that would get 10 games.
Right.
That's what I said on that hockey. Because it's totally not a non-hockey play.
And it's intentional. There's intent there.
And if you want to eliminate it, if you want to totally eliminate it happening in the future, then eliminate it. And, you know, no one's even going to think about doing it again. So, you know, I know it's a tough job in Department of Player Safety. Anytime they make a decision, there is an irate group on either side. There just is. That's the nature of that position. That's why it's so hard to do. But if you put different, you know, different colored sweaters on the players in that instance, it would be the exact opposite argument. It is six surprised, I think, everybody. Yes. Everybody involved, including us sitting at that desk last night.
Yeah, and after what you just said, I'm convinced even more right now with you saying that Brendan Shanahan, you know, knew, was used to working there and maybe had an idea how this was going to play out. I'm convinced even more right now that Mike Babcock was the guy that handed out the decision to suspend Jason Spezza yesterday.
He's working with the Department of Player Safety now?
That's right.
That is in Saskatchewan.
Just a consultant.
He's a consultant because they knew the way he felt about Jason Spezza. Some other news around the league last night. Now news, some highlights, and man, what a highlight it was, because he broke the... He basically broke social media with the move that he made. And Trevor Zegras, man, the flip behind the net. I mean, we know about the Michigan goal where guys flip it up on their stick and they wrap it in up top. But the move, the creativity this guy showed yesterday just to flip it up and Milano bats it in out of the air, top shelf. I mean, it definitely gave you the wow sort of feeling, did it not? And
it was like, spectacular, Carlo. But I'd seen it before, and I thought, when I played in Europe in the early 80s, and there was a kid on Malmo, I played for Rögle in Sweden, and there was a kid on Malmo who probably tried it a half a dozen times against us. And because there was so much space behind the net,
there was much more room,
and he used to try it quite frequently, and I never saw it work, but he used to try it. And that play last night, though, was just, I mean, it was remarkable because Milano clearly played decoy on it. He didn't raise his stick. He knew exactly what was going on. Yeah. He knew exactly what Zegras was going to do. They talked about it for sure. Because the minute he picks that puck up, you think he's coming around and going to try the lacrosse goal. And so, you know, everybody thinks that because they've seen that tried so many times, and that's become so routine. But just the creativity, you know, the Makar end-to-end rush the night before. Some of the young talent. We
Makar.
Were talking about
ridiculous.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Oh, that had to remind you of yourself in Bantam. I mean, it had to.
Like, in Bantam, for sure, yes. I was the end-to-end guy all the time.
Right.
Always.
You know, you might have done it once in Midget, but in Bantam, that was you. And it just, you know, some of the young talent and some of the stuff we're seeing. But Trevor Zegras is a very, very confident young man. And I love the creativity. I love where he's going with it. And wait till Mason McTavish joins him, guys, from Peterborough, because he's got a brash attitude as well that, you know, that Duck fans are going to love. And they've got a young group coming, Jamie Drysdale as well. They're going to be a handful when all those kids get together, and it's going to be fun to watch. But really, to watch that last night, to watch the creativity and the skill level of that play is just really fun.
Yeah, Zegras is an outstanding playmaker. We talk about Matthews being potentially the favorite to win the Rocket Richard. I think it's fair to say that Trevor Zegras is the favorite to win the Calder Trophy at this very moment. Dave, I know we're up against
Aaron,
the clock.
We get to watch those kids. Like, I do the U18s, rather. So I've been watching Trevor Zegras now for probably 3 or 4 years. And so we thought he was one of the best passers we'd ever seen at each level. So this isn't something that just came on the scene.
No, we remember him playing for the American team in the World Juniors last year, how outstanding he was. Quickly, the story out of insider trading about Lawrence Gilman, who's a very, very important part of the Maple Leafs front office, how he's being considered in Vancouver, perhaps other places for the general manager role. What would that mean to the Leafs if they were indeed to lose him, Dave?
Well, it'd be a big loss for sure, because he's part of the management group, the management discussion group. I mean, Brandon Pridham's their cap guy. I know Lawrence is a support guy of the cap role, but, you know, he's a well-respected veteran. He's, you know, really, I think, well-versed across the board, not just in one specific part of hockey management. A long history in Vancouver, so that doesn't surprise me there. What does surprise me is there's 4 teams in the NHL without general managers right now. That's amazing. I'm not sure that's ever happened during a season where there's been 4 teams sitting without a GM, let alone the coaches that aren't fully in place. So, you know, that's unique. But I mean, there's obviously a large management group here, and Lawrence has been a big part of it, particularly with the Marlies most recently, and with what they've done, and they've had to be called upon to supply players. And we've watched Sandin and Lilligren come up. We've watched Steve's last night. Watch Rubens last night, who looked fine, by the way, Carlo. I'll defer to you a little bit on the defense, but he looked fine to me last night in his first game ever in the NHL.
Yeah, he's a big quiet's player. Always a good thing in your first NHL game.
It is, absolutely. Quiet is good.
Dave, thanks so much for taking the time this morning. We appreciate it.
Okay, guys, have a great day. Thanks.
That's Dave Poulin, our TSN hockey analyst. Yeah, Rubens, a big, big man. I believe he's Latvian. 6'5", 230.
And is I thought he Latvian? Himself, I thought he I was, is he, no, I don't think he's Latvian. Oh, man, what's the country that I'm thinking of? Go ahead, I'll find it.
I'm going to look as well. Well, this is great radio. He is indeed Latvian.
Oh, he is.
I know
okay.
my Latvian hockey players. If there's one thing I know on this in this world, Coco.
He was one of those guys that was one of the 3 players named to the Latvian Olympic team, was he not?
Oof, if so, that's tough sledding for the Latvians. The Leafs' 8th defenseman is one of your top 3 guys. Could be a tough tournament for them if indeed they head over to Beijing for the Olympics. But yeah, he's a big boy. He's going to get an opportunity over the next couple of weeks with Travis Dermott injured, with Rasmus Sandin injured. The Leafs are, you know, they're light on the defensive side because of injuries, and the same would apply to their forward group right now with Jason Spezza suspended.
Yeah,
for
he was one of the
guys
named. He was one of the 3
Who
players.
Who else is on the? Who are the other 2?
Gergensens.
Oh, okay, Zemnis.
And Merzlikins.
Okay. Oh, so it was Latvia on Latvia last night with Merzlikins in net for Columbus and Columbia, Latvia. it's going to be a good squad, the Latvians. Maybe we could find a futures bet on Latvia to win the Olympics, led by Christian Rubens.
Christian Rubens, buddy. Yeah, Gergensens and Merzlikins. So, yeah.
I guess every Latvian last name ends with an S.
And wasn't Bob Hartley the last coach of Team Latvia at the World Championships, I believe?
That is something I cannot answer.
Yeah.
But I will do my best to ascertain.
Only on first up do you get Team Latvia hot take talk.
Definitely. Yes. Lots of hot takes on Team Latvia. Speaking of hot takes, we were talking about Domantas Sabonis and the report from Sham Serenia that he could be very much available from the Indiana Pacers and what it would cost the Toronto Raptors in order to acquire them. We'll have Bruce Arthur join us in about 20 minutes. We'll get into that with Brucey, one of our favorites from the Toronto Star, and also the Lou Marsh Award being voted on today. And it's an Olympic year, right? So generally speaking, whenever it is an Olympic year, an Olympian wins the Lou Marsh, except if there's exceptional circumstances. And I would argue that perhaps this year there are indeed exceptional circumstances, with one Toronto Blue Jay having an all-time season, winning the Hank Aaron Award as the top hitter in baseball. Of course, I'm talking about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. That's right. He is eligible to win. Should he win? We'll get into that, amongst many other things, in Hour 3 of First Up.